The border is, I'm going to say, slightly more open today than it was yesterday. Joining me on the program to talk about this and other border issues from Travel Secure, Marty Firestone, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. How are you?
I am fantastic. Great to have you back on the program. What's different today than yesterday at the Canada-U.S. border crossings?
Well, today I would say we have one hurdle out of the way in this mass chance of trying to get back to some normalcy. Basically, fully vaccinated Canadians can enter Canada with proof of vaccination and avoid, first and foremost, the ridiculous and archaic three-day hotel quarantine, and they do not have to quarantine for 14 days in their home. This is huge. This is a start, and only hope it gets better from here on in.
What is accepted as proof of vaccination?
Well, right now, what you have to do is go on the ArriveCan document, which just got updated today, by the way, so it's not like you could have done it a week ago, and it will walk you through the steps and allow you to upload or download, however you want to call it, your proof of vaccination that you received as an emailable document, as a paper document, whatever you got when you attended that second vaccine. It now says in that email, you have received two Pfizer shots, two AstraZeneca shots, one Moderna, one Pfizer. It's clearly there, and it allows you to download it and put it up, and that will be what the border officials are looking at when you cross the border.
So, not that it matters to you, but as of yesterday, makes 2 weeks fully vaccinated for me. So, I would be considered one of those people. All right, if I wanted to travel, I have the ArriveCan app. Then I just start the process, get the document sent to me by the organization that vaccinated me, and that's all I have to show. Right?
Yeah. The key, I would hope, is that when you left there, it literally was on your phone or on your iPad or on your computer within seconds. That's what I hope happened to everybody. Otherwise, we're in big trouble. We've got to start finding it at this point.
Yeah, yeah. And that one may be one, and maybe this isn't the conversation to have it, but that's a case where you need to follow up promptly with your healthcare provider in that case. But mine was sent immediately. So my wife and I, we're at a clinic. We got sent. It says this is to confirm that you have two doses, fully vaccinated. And so that information goes to the ArriveCan along with my passport. That's all I need, right? That's it.
That's correct. That's all you need as a Canadian. Of course, it means nothing to U.S. citizens who couldn't come in before, aren't able to come in now, whether they're fully vaccinated or not. That is July 21st that we're hoping that date changes and the border opens between Canada and U.S. and the Level 3 travel advisories lift. That's our next hurdle to jump.
Okay, so for land crossing, for instance, today our home station, of course, is in Niagara, but we have the fine folks of Windsor listening today as well. So for both of these border communities, the bridges, the tunnels, they're not open to non-essential travel yet. As you said, that's July 21st. So this applies to people flying back then.
No. It could be land or air with respect to Canadians, okay? So if you are a Canadian now abroad and want to come back in, even on land or air border, land you never had to go through that three-day hotel quarantine. That was one of the loopholes that existed. Air you always had to. Now, as a fully vaccinated Canadian coming home on July the 5th, you do not have the hotel via air, and you never had it during land, and you don't have to prove and show 14 days of quarantine when you land, come back in through Canada now, if you are vaccinated.
Okay. And again, as you said, the next date for us to watch is July 21st, because that is when the latest round of the border closure is set to expire, correct?
That is correct. On March 2020, this border has been closed, and every month has been updated. The last 16, 17 months, an additional 30 days has been added on the 21st of each month. It is my hope that on this 21st of the month, we will have rates of vaccines, high, low hospital and ICU admissions, and our prime minister will look at it and say, you know what, it's time that we try to salvage the summer economy by allowing Americans to now come into Canada and not have to quarantine and be able to come in as long as they show double vaccination.
A couple of things I want your comments on away from this. First of all, Travel Secure provides travel insurance for those looking to travel abroad. Have you seen an increase in inquiries over the last couple of weeks since we last spoke, and the border situation and the impending news that we're going to see a slight reopening? Have you seen an increase in people?
Tremendous. Well, let's look at my base client, who's the snowbird. They went away last year, albeit only 30% of them. 110%, if that's possible, are going to be going away this year. I know that already. Calls for quotes and calls for arrangements as they're all going back in November. There is zero questions when it comes to that. Where we're not getting the calls are the family travel still for Christmas vacation, and not looking at international travel, i.e. the Frances and Italy's of the world, till next summer of 2022. It's still a little scary to head out of our wonderful country and go to certain other countries where, I'm telling you, the vaccination rate is not even close to what we have going on here. So there is tremendous hesitancy to do major travel at this point.
Okay, so but for snowbirds, They're you know, ready to go, and they can't, you know, warm weather up in these months, but they're, you know, come October, November, December, whenever traditionally snowbirds take off, you're seeing an increase in people looking to go back to, let's say, Florida or Arizona.
I am. And not only an increase, they're suggesting that they used to take advantage of coming back and forth based on something called a multi-trip annual that allowed them to go back, step back in Canada for 1 minute and fly back again, and they'd already paid for it. I'm finding now the mentality is, Marty, I'm not coming back. I'm going to stay for a good 5, 6, 7 months if I can. I'm just tired. I'm sick of what we went through the last year and a half, and we're going away, and we're going to stay away. That's the overall sentiment at this point.
Now, the other news story I want to talk to you about, specifically about snowbirds, is what's the latest on U.S. lawmakers allowing Canadians to stay longer without paying taxes? Has that received any traction in Congress?
Yeah, it's got traction, but it's a twofold scenario here. Very nice that they want to allow Canadians to stay there up to 8 months without having to file a U.S. tax return, but that's not going to do anybody here any good. Where in Canada, we have varied time limits with respect to your provincial health plan, but using Ontario as an example because of your marketplace, we are maximum allowed to stay away 212 days or our OHIP is invalid because you've been out of the country too long. So the bottom line is America can give us 8 months to be down there, but you'll come home to no health coverage. So that's not the answer. So it's a twofold thing that has to happen here. Yes, I believe it could happen. And if these governors in Florida believe they're going to try to make it 8 months, great news. But none of us will stay 8 months if when we come home, we no longer are covered by OHIP. So we got to, both sides got to talk to one another and try to adjust it to a time frame that they will both meet.
What is the current allowance for snowbirds? 6 months, 7 months?
7 months in Ontario, 212 days you are allowed out of the country and your OHIP is still intact. Anything over that, if they could figure that out and see it, would mean you have your OHIP at risk, quite frankly. So that's the maximum you can stay is 7 months. Many other provinces is 180 days, which is just 6 months. So that was fine because the U.S. was making you file a U.S. tax return and report earnings and everything, which no one ever wanted to do. So they were all trying to keep in line with that six-month number, regardless of the fact they could have been down there for seven.
Okay. Then as an insurance guy, isn't this the window of opportunity, and you've probably, you know, thought of this, but could you not allow people to stay 8 months and then just have an insurance package for that eighth month? It's like, yeah, OHIP will cover up to seven, but if you stay longer, you have one extra month you have to pay for out of pocket.
Yeah, it would be nice if it was that easy, but it's got nothing to do with that. It's not like OHIP covers you for out of country anyway. That's private insurance. It is
right.
About the extra month while you're away. Could you buy an additional package? It's about coming back to Ontario where you have doctors, where you have everything here that we take for granted now that OHIP covers that wouldn't cover you because they're going to say, you know what, you've been out of the country a little too long for our liking and you no longer have OHIP coverage, which would be a nightmare. So there is no package or nothing offered that could replace that extra month, for lack of a better word.
Okay. I have a question from a texter or statement. He says, you need a negative PCR test within 72 hours as well for crossing the border, even with double vaccination. Is that correct?
That is correct. We did leave that out in the conversation. This is the part that's still a little gray, and I still am waiting for an answer on one thing. If you were just in Windsor and going over to Detroit for the day, now you got a negative COVID test here in Canada within 72 hours of crossing the border. Okay, that's fine. The question is, if you're only in Michigan for one day or slept over one night and came back the next day, or do you have to go get your U.S. negative COVID test to show at the Canadian border, or can you show your 72-hour test you took in Canada to allow yourself to get through? That's a question no one seems to answer me, and that I can't wait to hear the answer for. So that's a biggie. But yes, you still have to get the pre-COVID test leaving Canada. You have to get the test in the country you're in coming back into Canada, even though you are double vaccinated.
Okay. And as you said, if it's less than 72 hours or just a day trip, you need a little more clarity as to exactly when you need that test.
I've been on the phone all morning trying to make sense as clients are asking me now that we can do this and not have to quarantine or go in the hotel and anything, can I just cross the border for a day? If I do, do I need to find a U.S. drugstore of some sort and get a negative COVID test, wait for the result before I can go back across the border into Canada? That's a good question. And unfortunately, I don't have an answer for it right now, but I will by tomorrow for sure.
All right. Finally, Marty, let me ask you anecdotally, have you heard, I know earlier on it was more of a case, but maybe with vaccine availability in Canada, it's less so. Are you still hearing people who are going to the States to get vaccinated and then waiting a while and then coming back? It seems that was a thing maybe March, April, but we seem to have much greater supply now.
So it was a huge thing in January. Of course, everybody, many clients flew down there and got the double vaccinations within 3 weeks. It then took a light of its own in the sense that those who had one up here in Canada and were told they were waiting till July to get their second said, I'm not waiting, and went down, you are correct, in April or May. But right now, there is no need for any individual to head south for their shots. They basically can all get them here in a timely manner. So in answer to your question, there is nobody now traveling south to get their vaccine. They can get it up here in Canada.
Marty Firestone from Travel Secure, before I let you go, anything else you want the audience to know about travel and the border as we await a further loosening?
I would be wary of one aspect of insurance that has yet not changed, and that is if someone buys trip cancellation or interruption insurance because they're putting down a sizable deposit on either a condo for Florida or Arizona or a trip in Christmas or a trip next summer in Europe. COVID-19 is still a known cause, which means if you have to cancel the trip because of you having COVID or a border being closed or an airline not being able to fly, it is still a known cause, as I said, and they will not accept that as a reason for cancellation. So we have to be wary that everything else would still be covered, a traveler, companion, sick family member, et cetera, but not COVID. We need the border to be open, the travel advisory lifted before insurance companies will treat COVID again and pandemics as a reason for cancellation. So be wary about that one point.
All right, perfect. Marty Firestone from Travel Secure, a pleasure, sir. Thanks for giving us the update.
Thank you for having me. Take care.